your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to talk a little bit in this particular segment. We're going to continue discussing Jim's experiences in Europe for the past week, his experiences specifically that relate to the topics that we talk about on this particular program. Jimmy, finish your train of thought from the last segment when we had to cut for the commercial break. You were talking about a very, very expensive yacht that was stolen.
Yeah, so while I'm there, your question was, how do the other Europeans feel about it? And I can tell you they're very concerned and they're taking actions, very, very bold actions to push and pressure powerful Russian oligarchs. And I was actually in the port of Trieste, out in town there, and looked out and saw the 470-foot sailing yacht called Sailing Yacht A, SYA, priced at, get this, about $580 million. And the Italian government seized it in March, late March, after the Russian invasion. And of course, this is the case in many, many of the assets of the Russian oligarchs around the region. A lot of their property, a lot of their yachts, and of course, financial assets have been seized by Europeans. They are absolutely concerned, and they are taking actions that just the coordinated effort and the inability for them to put too much pressure is. One, because they're concerned about Russian energy supplies to Western Europe and the potential impact. So they're balancing that. And the Russians have forced the Germans to succumb in some ways by accepting some of the sales. And of course, nobody's really being affected by the broader sanctions. The Russians are not being affected by the broader sanctions with because they're able to make oil sales to India and China at very high prices. At the market prices that are way up there. So they're making money right now. The Russians are making money. The Europeans are very concerned. And the second thing they're the Europeans are very concerned about is the potential pushback from Russia if Ukraine makes headway in the east or potentially in the Crimea. They're very concerned about the possibility of an expanded war or Russia lashing out. So they're taking, they're taking some actions, and we'll see what happens with this. Because I do suspect, my analysis says that the Ukrainians will do some sort of counterattack and put the Russians under intense pressure for some period of time. How long that lasts, no one knows. What the ramifications will be at this point, no one knows. It's a chess game, and we'll see how that plays out.
Well, Jimmy, I want to talk about that chess game a little bit now. Basically, the world, with the exception, I would have to say, probably of mainland China, is, and they have been very astute in not getting involved in this thing, in my opinion. I mean, we're going to talk about Taiwan here in the next hour. What's going on in Taiwan right now is really, really interesting. But the Russians so far are not getting much support, if any, from mainland China now. In terms of the specific European countries, I am under the impression that the European country that's giving the most support to Russia is kind of a combination of Germany and France. Am I correct in that assumption, Jim?
Well, okay, I think you didn't want to say support, but that are being leveraged in order to kind of still fund or pay for energy supplies from Russia. They're being blackmailed. And of course, their populations are under big threat. They actually are shutting down. I was in Germany, Munich yesterday, and down in the streets in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, they actually turned off the power around the city during the evening, so there's no streetlights or anything, to save energy. They're being forced to make significant energy cuts. They're having a very big impact without the gas supplies coming in. And it's affecting all the European countries. The ones that are most affected are Germany and France. They are not supporting Russia, but they're absolutely bound and being held hostage by them. I don't see anybody that's actually supporting them. The only country that I would say has been playing of like, hey, less, a less aggressive role towards Russia would be Hungary, because they don't want to get involved in it, because they're a border country. They've been invaded by the former Soviet Union with Russian troops before.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are these a few of the countries that are just trying to be careful in the middle of the small ones that don't have much support, would be hung out to dry if there was a significant problem. So there's a tough balance for NATO and the U.S. to keep those countries in line, and or at least talking the same with the same voice. But clearly, sanctions are not working effectively, and unfortunately, you know, China is one of the big purchasers of Russian energy, so that's very much helping Russia because they're paying, and now they're cutting a deal to actually make payments in yuan, in Chinese currency, so and in ruble. So
yeah.
That's actually having a big impact on global actual currency markets, and there's an attempt to reshape the global currency exchange system and take the dollar off as the primary petrodollar exchange method. And we don't know if this is going to work. I tend to think it won't, but it could potentially if they continue to gain ground. And that's what many people don't realize. Russians and Chinese would not stop if they were able to, in my view, they would not stop if they were able to have an opportunity to gain ground in any opportunity.
Well, I've been following the energy markets for most of my career, and I know that the elimination of the petrodollar has been on the minds of many, many of the large energy suppliers. So if it happens here, I guess the only comment I can make is it will be very interesting to see the impact that it has on the markets, the financial markets around the world. I want to get into that if you're willing to do that. I want to do that after the top of the hour news. I think it's very, very critical what's going on right now in a macro sense in terms of that topic. What's going to happen? I mean, the United States right now is in a very, very interesting situation economically. I mean, Biden says we're not in a recession. Well, okay, we may not be in a recession, but I have to say that there are a lot of things going on financially in the United States right now that are going to be even more detrimental. Things like supply chains are going to be more detrimental in the future because it's very difficult to get certain items because of that. In terms of interest rates, that could, what I would call, straighten out the housing market. You get interest rates that are not at all conducive towards mortgages, and I think the housing markets will go back to normal. At least I certainly hope that they will. Some people are going to totally disagree with that, but I have to say that these inflated prices are detrimental. You guys, we're going to be right back after the news. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.